Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan. And if you're wondering why the J, the answer is I'm not a bagpipe player. And if that joke doesn't make any sense, I encourage you to check out episode zero, where I explain that joke as well as the purpose of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast, where we talk about faith, family, fitness, finances, and sometimes fun. Well, friends, hello. You can see I'm in the home studio. You know what? I have a complete episode recorded from the studio with wonderful producer Shane Dale. It just didn't get edited in time. And you know what? That's fine. We'll push it off to next week because recording in the home studio tonight, excuse me, gives me a chance to update you on something that just happened in the last 24 hours. And I'm really happy to do an episode about it. But before anything else, I've just got to say thank you so much for listening. I always appreciate you guys, the likes, the shares, the comments. I've got someone right now who is starting at the very beginning and working their way all the way through. Chris, thanks so much. There's going to be some stuff in there and you're like, oh, I can't believe it. But thanks so much for giving it a shot. I appreciate you taking on that task of some 467, 470 episodes, whatever number we're at right now. So, you know, good, bad, and ugly when you start at the very beginning and work your way through. And also, I've spoken to at least two people recently who are thinking about starting their own podcast, and I'd say go for it. Because you know what? The overwhelming majority, 90%+ of podcasts don't make it past three episodes. Folks get bored, they fall off the routine, they don't gain the audience they want, and creating the podcast is about just saying, hey, I'm going to do this every single week, and I'm going to do the best I can, and that's what I'm doing for you. So I'm in the home office. I didn't want to delay the episode. It's a great episode coming out next week. I'll tell you all about it next week, because it'll get there then, but I want to share something that happened this week. I have been training for a 50K, an ultra marathon. An ultra marathon is anything 50K or larger. It's 31 miles, which is roughly 5 miles more than a regular marathon. And when you first hear it, you think, was only five more miles. But it's definitely not that way. You know that marathons are passionate for me. I've run 27 full marathons, and up until yesterday, I had run one ultra, and now I have run two ultras. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to tell you about my first ultra marathon experience, what my thinking has been along the line of it, why I chose to run an ultra marathon in the August heat, which is crazy, and how it went. Back in, I believe it was 2015 or 2016, I'll take a sip of coffee. I wanted to run ultra, and I just organized my own ultra, the Toughness Crew Ultra Marathon, and my buddy Danny ran it with me. And this was not far after regaining the ability to run after my seizures had hit, and I was starting to feel more confident as a runner. And we had a 20-miler scheduled, and we said, let's just run an ultra marathon. And that was really the whole plan for it. So that Saturday, I got up, and I think I was a pastor then. I led a Bible study, and we just took off with our normal, you know, patterns of doing things. I had a hydration belt and some goo, and it was winter. There was still snow on the ground from a recent snow that we'd had. And you know what? The first 15, 20 miles were a blast. Danny and I just ran it all over town. And we had a couple of friends with a couple of friends that were going to meet us to run the last few miles together. And I really appreciated that. So I know our friends Chris hopped in and ran with us for a couple of miles. And we were going to finish in the state park. We were just going to do back and forth. And then my family was going to meet me at the end. And when you run a marathon, you have what's called the wall, which is this 18 to 22 mile area where your glycogen levels dip. And it can be terrible. You can have cramping. You can have just your body can just really hurt. And what I was unaware is that when you run an ultra marathon, there's a second wall that hits around 27 or 28. And I remember finishing that ultra marathon back in 2015 or 16, whatever it was. Just every step, I was nauseous. I went to puke. I was cramping. I think I ran it in like 5 hours and 58 minutes. And That's crazy. I can run, at that time, not as fast as I am now, but my fastest marathon is a 3:23. My most recent marathon in February was a 3:32. So, I can run a marathon in basically 3.5 hours. And so that day I had run an ultra just 5 miles more. It took me almost 6 hours. So again, it doesn't work that way. Like the mind says, well, it's only 5 more hours, so just run a marathon. I mean, 5 more miles, excuse me. So just run a marathon, and then you just got to hang in there for 5 miles. But it just doesn't work that way. What the mileage does to your body at that point is pretty stunning. Now, in addition, I am not traditionally, or I have not been traditionally, a great heat runner. Whenever I train for a marathon and there's the heat, I've had cramping. I just haven't performed as well. And this is August. And so the starting temp was going to be 68, which I'm thankful, but that's still hot because when you run, you basically just have to adapt to almost 20 temps higher. So if you're running in 68, it really feels like 88 once you start going sweating and stuff. And so this race is called the Dahlgren 50K and the 3H half marathon. The 3Hs stand for hot, hazy, and humid because it's in August. And it runs along the Dahlgren Trail, which is an old railroad track. And it's fairly flat. I think I had about 400 feet of elevation, but for the most part, it's flat. And I've only run it. It's a very famous trail in the area, very popular. And I've only run it once ever, and that was about 6 weeks or so ago. I went out and ran it, and I was like, there's a lot of rocks in this thing. It's flat, but my feet are gonna get torn up a little bit. And I changed my training schedule. Typically, I will run, if I'm training for a marathon, a long run on the weekends will be 20, and then I'll do like 18, 17, and I'll do a 20, 18, and 17. And then my midweek run will be 10. Well, for the ultramarathon, my training was every weekend. It was like 20, 20, 20, 15, 20, 20, 20, 15. A lot more mileage. And all my 10s became 13s. My 6s became 8s. And so a lot more mileage. I had a couple of weeks, a couple of 7 day periods where I broke into the 70s. I think I had 1 7 day period where I did 77 miles. And my goal here was not speed. My goal was time on the feet. Can my body get used to that kind of mileage and not get injured? I was not doing a lot of speed work. So I put in the time and I was feeling pretty good. I had three goals for the ultra marathon. I wanted to finish, which is not a given. I wanted to break 5 hours, which would be a pretty fast ultra marathon, in the nines pace wise. And I wanted to place in my age group. And that was my goal. Those are my three. I typically run marathons with three goals, and this was an ultra. Also, because this is a down and back, they do as much support as they can, but water and food and stuff is really about every 4 miles. And in a typical marathon, you'll get support every 2 miles, but it's just not possible. It's just a trail that goes down and back out in the middle of the woods. And Arsenal Events, who rocks, they did the best that the trail would allow. So that meant that I was going to need to roll my own hydration. I don't run with a hydration belt anymore. It just bounces around. And I ran with a hydration vest. I tried out a couple, bought them, sent them back to Amazon, finally found the one I like. And you basically have this bladder on your back. It's like running with a, I jokingly say, it's like running with a bouncing fetus on your back. You've got a couple of pounds of water on your back and a vest that's, for me, needs to be super tight because I can't stand anything bouncing around. I've got my phone in there, and then you've got to really need to carry your own food. So I did, I carried like four goos, which are like these ketchup packets of goo that are built for caffeine and energy and calories. And then I ran with like these little Stinger waffles. They're like this big, which I really began to like. It's just kind of hard to eat them. And so I had all that, weighed down on me, because my goal was to, anytime there was water, my goal, the only thing to do with that was just to dump it on my head. So race day arrives yesterday. So what you have to do, though, it's at Dahlgren, and the entrance was in King George. I know if you're not from this area, none of that matters, but it was a 1 hour commute. And there was a 6 a.m. mandatory trail meetup, and then the race starts at 6:30. So what that means was I had to be at the trail. I had to be there for the trail meetup at 6, and so that means I got up at 3:30, left the house at 4:30, got up, had my breakfast, went to the restroom a bunch of times, did the hour commute. Got there. I got to the trailhead 30 minutes before the meeting, an hour before the race. Because, guys, honestly, I go to the restroom a bunch of times because you just don't want to be out in the woods like that. And the trail meeting explained how everything went. I'm hesitating because honestly, I could have gone to the bathroom a couple more times, but there were only three porta potties out there for about, nearly 300 people, but neither here nor there. And then we took off. Now, guys, in this race, you so much pacing has to happen, and you have to find yourself in a situation where you are preparing for the suffering at the end. So you can go out fast, but you've got to know that you're taking something away from the end. My goal was to go out around a low 9 minute pace. And that's what I did. That's what I had been trained for. I had done a 22 that was like a 9.5 minute pace. I'd done a 20 that was an 8:58 pace. I felt good about it. And guys, it was so humid when you got underneath those trees. It wasn't sweltering hot, but it kind of made like a hot box. And so it was humid. Early on, I noticed a couple of things. I noticed that I was struggling to find my legs, but nothing bad. That happens. Sometimes it takes me 6, 7 miles to do that. And then I was also realizing that there was a bunch of people ahead of me. And I was kind of surprised by that. Not that I'm elite, but I was like, okay, we got some ringers. We've got some folks that came in from out of town. But I just settled in. Settling in is my term for finding my pace, getting lost in the racing conditions and the racing and that kind of thing. So I eventually found it. But the thing that was toughest for me, to be honest with you, I don't do a lot of trail running, is that you can't avoid running on the rocks of the trail. And the bottom of my feet just begin to hurt. Really, just because you're running on the uneven ground, and like what the bottom of my feet hurt by like mile 6 or 7. I was like, oh, this is not good. But again, settling in. I realized again around mile 6 or 7 that there were people passing me, which isn't typical, but I was like, you guys run your race. Now, when you do a down and back, you go to a mile 15 and a half turn and come back, you get to see everyone who's ahead of you. And I always count. It gives me a sense of where I am. Because again, I wanted to come in third in my age group. You don't know the age of the people out there, but you get a sense of it. And at the down the back of the halfway mark, I figured I was in the top 30, somewhere around 28th or 29th. I was like, wow, there's a lot more people ahead of me than I thought. And I didn't necessarily think that on the back half, I was going to be clocking a major time and just start reeling people in. But I was like, run your race. And my goal was this, unless I was cramping, I was not stopping, no matter how tired, no matter how slow, no matter how humid. Unless I was cramping, I was not stopping. And that would prove to be a big help to me on the back half of the race. It gets getting hotter and hotter. I think the race temp ended close to 90, 100% humidity. It's tough out there. And for me, that has typically meant that I'm going to lead to cramping. And I just thought, you know what? Stay hydrated. So at first I started drinking from the hydration pack every mile. In the second half, it was just whenever I needed it, which was constant. And again, every time we passed a water station, I would take the water, I'd dump it on my head, just try to cool myself down. And I'm kind of no fun at the water stations. I thank folks, but I come running in. I'm like, water, water, I need water, because there's also other things there. And folks give me water, and I always try to say thanks, but I kind of come in kind of yelling at people. Amy tells me I need to be nicer about that. But when you're running a race, all you can think about is what you need. But I'm like, water, water, I pump it up my head. Thank you. No one's passing me on the second half, and that's good. I was like, okay, don't get passed on the second half. I think one person passed me because they stopped at a water station, but it's voice swap back out. And guys, that second half is lonely. I mean, when you get to 18, When you're in a regular marathon, at 18, you're trying to stave off the wall, but at 18, you're like, hey, we're getting close to being done here. But in an ultra marathon, at 18, you still have a half marathon to go. And so there was an aid station around 18 and a half, dumps water in my head. I'm like, wow, I still got a full half marathon to go. And I'm starting to slow down. It's not that I didn't have the training for it. I had the lung capacity. My legs were just beaten up from the trail. They really were. My legs were just sore. My bottom of my feet were hurting. And I'm just in what I call the pain cave. And I'm like, just continue to do the best you can. Well, a lot of this race you run alone, because there's no one there to cheer you on except to the aid stations. And the pack begins to separate out. And it's not a big race. I mean, there was less than 300 people in it. So you're just running alone. And I do run with music. I'd already gone through a podcast. I'm just settling into the music I have. But it's just you and your thoughts for hours. I'm starting to make progress. So I begin to think of things like this. Get past 20. At 20, you're basically two-thirds. Get to 22. When you're 22, you have less than 10 miles to go. And then you start clocking it like that. You get to 6 miles. You're like, it's just a 10K. You start just playing mental tricks to get there. And I began to pass a couple of people, not a ton, but I began to pass. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm in 25th or so, because people get tired, they start walking. It's totally okay. I wound up passing just an elite runner that I know. Just that they are an incredible runner and they're walking. I'm like, okay, hang in there. I asked them if they were okay on the white guy and they said they were. But I was very surprised. They were having a tough day, but totally understandable with the heat. I had a couple of calf twinges and I'm just praying and I'm trying to stay. I'm like, no matter what, how slow you go, I get to marathon. 26.2, and I have just a mental moment to celebrate. Like you just ran a trail marathon in 90-degree heat, 87-degree heat, whatever it was. But guys, there's still 5 miles to go, and it's a brutal 5 miles. It's not just adding, oh, 5 miles. There's a lot going on in your mind and your body in that section. And I am slowing down. I mean, like 12-minute miles every now and then. At 28, I hit the wall, and I did not stop. But guys, I had a 15-minute mile. You can walk a 15-minute mile. And I thought I was going faster than that. I really did. I didn't feel like I was going that slow. But I was like, wow, this is going way slow. But I was like, don't be discouraged by it. Keep it up. Passed a few more people. And at mile 29 and 30, I had some energy. I was running like an 8:58, and I think both those miles were my nines. And something funny happened at with a mile and a half to go. There were two runners ahead of me. I had seen them all day, and they were both walking. And I passed them both. One of them came to a complete stop to let me pass. And I'm like, sweet. I mean, I don't want bad things for them, but I mean, I'm like, okay, I'm checking off with some runners here. And one of them, I love this about running, I really do. One of them took it personally and he took off. My passing him gave him a boost. And 50 yards later, he passed me, said something to me, something encouraging. And guys, he took off like almost so that I couldn't see him. My passing him, he just couldn't stand it. And he took off like 100 yards ahead of me. I did not have that kind of kick in me. My goal was stay ahead of the guy who passed me. Don't let anyone else pass me. Finish strong. Maybe you can get into the top three in age. I knew I wasn't going to hit the 5 hour mark. I knew that around 20. When I had that 15-minute mile, I knew I had lost that. And came around the corner, finished, and just they had these blue tarps out there in the shade, and I just laid down. Everyone's like, are you okay? Are you okay? You get a bottle of water, you dump it all over yourself, you drink as much as you can. And I'm just sitting there. I have no idea whether I've placed or not. I ran a 5 hour and 8 minute. So I finished goal number one, accomplished 5 hour and 8. I did not hit that goal. So I don't know what my emotions are. I know I'm exhausted. I know that I want to get my picture taken. Vanity, but you do run these things. I knew that I wanted to call Amy to let her know that I was okay. But this is disgusting. My phone is so sweaty. My touchscreen's not working. So I've got to find a napkin or a towel or something somewhere to wipe my phone down just so I can text her and let her know I'm okay. Rebecca was there. She's with the Frederick Aaron Running Club. She's been super encouraging. I appreciated that. Other runners are yelling at me, just saying great job. I'm able to get my picture taken, clean my phone up, text Amy. And I go over, and they have this Arsenal has this great screen that lets you know your result, your placing, and if there's a little crown beside your name, it lets you know if you're going to get an award. And it hadn't updated on the most recent runners, so my name's not up there yet. But from what I'm looking at, it looks like there's two runners ahead of me in my age group, but I don't know who came in ahead of me. I don't know what the age was of those two guys. So one of the folks working for Arsenal is like, "Well, I can look up your name." And she said, "You came in fourth." And guys, I gotta admit, I was disappointed at that point in time. I really was. So I texted everybody's like, "Hey, fourth's my age group. Amy and everyone's being super encouraging." I go and I dump my water vest, and they had three kegs of beer. And I'm like, hydration wise, not the greatest thing in the world, but I'm gonna go get a really cold beer. And beer's not even my favorite drink or anything, but it's not like you're gonna drink bourbon after all that. So I went and got a beer and walked back to the award show because I want to be there and I want to support and encourage everybody. And I'm still not ready to go home yet. Like, I'm still not even ready to hop into a car. And I go back and look at the leaderboard, and my name's got a little award by it. And I was like, I don't know what award I'm getting, but apparently the person working had told me incorrectly. So I got third in my age group, which was really, really cool. It was two of my three goals. I couldn't have trained harder, and there was not anything more in me. I couldn't have been more hydrated. 508 is what I had in my body that day. I don't know what I could have done to have gained an extra 8 minutes. Truly, I don't know. It's what I could do and what I could do that day. So I'm happy. I'm like, okay, because my last one was like 5:58. It's a 50-minute improvement. The last one was in cold weather, which I love. This one was in the hot, humid, and hazy weather, which is not my favorite. So it was very cool. Arsenal gave out these really cool running bags. A really nice award. Listen, I've been thankful for every award I've gotten. I've received everything from plaques. I even received a frozen turkey twice. They're all very cool. I'm very thankful for all of them. But the gig bag, nice, really, really nice. So cleaned up. Couldn't really eat. I got a burger. I might have eaten two-thirds of it. But man, in the hour after the race, I had half a bottle of water, 16-ounce beer, a 16-ounce Armour electrolyte drink, and a tall coffee with two shots of espresso. You go, coffee? I'm like, guys, I drink a lot of coffee. I had one cup of coffee as of like 1:30 yesterday. So yeah, so I finished the race. That's half a bottle of water, 16-ounce beer, 16-ounce electrolyte, and a tall coffee with two shots of espresso. It's just I was thirsty all day long. Man, just cold drink. I got home, I had a seltzer, a LaCroix generic seltzer, whatever. I just cold drink all day long. Finally got my appetite back in the evening, and I had a bacon fried egg and cheeseburger from Red Robin. So good. Fries. Like, I was not worried at all about anything. It was just like put food in me. But you know what? I look back on it and I'm thankful that I did this ultra marathon. Am I ever gonna do another one? I try not to swear things off because almost everything I've sworn off I've done before in my life. Don't really have a need to do it again. But what I wanted to know was, could I run a healthy 50K? The answer is yes. Could I run it in the heat and not cramp up? Yes. Could I place in my age group? Yes. But when I think about my running goals are really marathon oriented, qualifying for Boston oriented. You know, this is not a qualifying race for something. I mean, I could qualify for a 50, miler. That's what I could do. So to the what you have to have done to run a 50 miler is you have to run a 50K, and to qualify for a 100 miler, you have to run a 50 mile. And it's crazy. I cannot imagine running another 19 miles. I really would have to look up and study how to train for that, but it's not on my bucket list right now at all. But all in all, guys, when I ran the first one, I was not as good a runner. I was not as educated a runner. And there were still a lot of after effects of seizures. So I'm thankful that I could run this healthy. It's another notch of kicking seizures' butt. And it's redemptive. It's redemptive. And you know what? You learn something about yourself mentally when you give yourself a 5-hour physical and mental challenge. Because I'm just going to tell you guys, the last 2 hours of that race, 100% mental, 100% mental. Because at the end, there's nothing left, and all you're doing is you're telling yourself not to stop. And I told myself, as long as I'm not cramping, there's no need to stop, no matter how slow I go. So it's what you do. It's what you do to endure and get there. Kudos to everybody who did so well. There's some runners out there. He ran it in the 3 hour, like a slightly under 4 hour mark, which is insane. They were so fast, so endurance. Cheers to my friend Carla, who set a 50K PR for herself. She did so well. I think she had a 7:05, and she really didn't. I mean, Carla stays, running ready always, always. But I don't. I mean, she just went out there in 50K and just kicked its butt. She said that she had a, and that she lost her soul somewhere around 20 or 21. And it'll do it when you realize how far you have left to go. So just super proud of her. But guys, I appreciate you listening to my run report. I had a blast. Kudos to everyone who did so well and just overcoming the mental challenges, everything it takes to get there. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to rest up for a couple of weeks, and then it's time to start training for the Richmond Marathon. So guys, I appreciate you all listening. Hang in there. I've got a great episode already recorded, prepared for next week in the studio. I can't wait for you to hear it. But all the likes, shares, and everything, I appreciate it. And I'll see you again next week. Thanks, friend.